Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, presenting Resilience and Creativity, a concert and interview with Royce Martin, creator of Swag Time, and resilience researcher Dr. Tom Wagner on August 2nd, SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, June 11th. I'm Abby Larico. Opera Theater of St. Louis's adaptation of A Streetcar Named Desire reflects the hope and anguish of the original play.
Art imitates life, right? I've said many times I don't like polite opera. I want to see our real lives up there. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin speaks with two of the production's architects coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Missouri State Auditor says Francis Howell school officials did not properly vet former Superintendent Mike Dominguez before he joined the St. Charles County District. The school board terminated Dominguez's contract last summer and paid him out about $230,000. The decision came after the board heard concerns about his ability to lead the district. Dominguez never worked a day with Francis Howell. The state auditor says the district's search firm should have found social media posts with concerns about his tenure at a Kansas school district. The payout garnered sharp criticism from the Francis Howell community after the board refused to disclose details about what went wrong. The school board installed longtime district administrator Mark Delaney as superintendent after the shakeup in leadership. A Francis Howell spokesperson said in a statement that the district has strong leadership in place and is focused on the future. The former board president of Circus Flora will spend nearly 2 years in prison for stealing more than $120,000 from the nonprofit. A federal judge issued the 22-month sentence to 63-year-old George Pace. He will also have to pay back what he stole, plus interest and fees. Pace used the money for personal expenses like restaurants and skincare. Circus Flora executive and artistic director Jack Marsh says the theft made it difficult to stage the last few seasons.
Everyone, I think, really, you know, understood the gravity of this and that we were the victims of something terrible. And we have been able to you know, pull it together to do some really amazing shows these last few years.
Marsh says the organization has made changes to prevent something similar from happening again. The circus has recently kicked off its 40th season at the iconic Big Top in Grand Center. You can check out some photos of the show Flying High from our Charlotte Keene at stlpr.org. A group of St. Louis aldermen is mulling possible oversight for Mayor Kara Spencer's Tornado Recovery Office as the city considers giving it millions of dollars for North St. Louis recovery efforts. STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri has more.
Conversation about an ordinance that would make the recovery office an official part of the city government and place some oversight on it came up as part of a committee discussion over Ram settlement funds Tuesday. The office is set to receive a large share of the roughly $125 million in settlement funds allocated for tornado recovery in North St. Louis. Ward 7 Alderwoman Alicia Saunier says she's worried about the lack of say city leaders outside of the mayor's office have on spending and other recovery efforts.
I don't want to be sitting here a year from now and people telling us that things still have not moved. Things have gone to more contractors or consultants.
Many aldermen on the city's Urban Development Committee said they are interested in possible legislation to bring the office under the city charter. It currently operates as part of an emergency executive order. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Annie Malone Children and Family Services has finally received its long-awaited million-dollar grant from the St. Louis Development Corporation. The nonprofit was initially awarded the funding in February of 2025. The money was part of the SLDC's North City Grant Program. Annie Malone's historic building in the Ville neighborhood is in dire need of restoration. It needs a new boiler, pipes, and a roof, which took a substantial hit during last year's tornado. Keisha Lee is the organization's CEO. She said in a statement that the funding is essential, but that the organization has much more work to do to finalize the restoration project. Annie Malone launched a $50 million capital campaign last year to support the building's full restoration and expand its children and family services. Proposition S is funding more than $700 million in stormwater improvements in the St. Louis region. As St. Louis Public Radio's Anison Krebs Carr reports, the Ulina Storm Improvements Project is the first Prop S project to begin construction.
The project will build 150 feet of stormwater sewer pipe in Bevo Mill. This will reduce flooding in the area by carrying extra runoff to a nearby sewer system. Bess McCoy, manager of public affairs for MSD Project CLEAR, says the project will greatly impact the neighborhood, both in the short and long term.
When voters approved Proposition S, they gave our region a dedicated way to invest in new stormwater solutions for the very first time. And this is important because issues like localized flooding are often more than any single homeowner or neighborhood or even municipality can handle.
McCoy says the project should take less than 6 months. Voters approved Prop S in 2024. I'm Anison Krebs-Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
A plan to implement a nearly $40 million redevelopment district in Midtown St. Louis moved ahead yesterday with a public hearing set for mid-August. The plan is pushed by a coalition of nonprofits and business groups in the area. It requests the city create a tax incremental financing district over roughly 160 acres of Midtown, Downtown West, and Grand Center. The plan would focus on putting tax revenue toward repairing public infrastructure in the area to attract investment and private redevelopment. It's estimated that the TIF, if approved, would raise $39 million over a 23-year period. The TIF Commission will hold a public hearing on the project at 8:30 a.m. on August 12th. The museum at Cahokia Mounds has partially reopened to the public. The State Historical Sites Interpretive Center has been shut down for more than 4 years for repairs and renovation. According to the museum, the gift shop, model of the site, and some exhibits are all open and will be available Wednesdays through Sundays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Metro East Museum closed in the spring of 2022, and construction was expected to cost $5 million and take 18 months. Instead, the total cost ballooned to nearly $13 million because of delays and inflation. That's according to KMOV. The last renovations at Cahokia Mounds are expected to be complete by late summer. The 2026 FIFA World Cup kicks off today, and St. Louisans are dishing out big bucks for a chance to get a glimpse of their team's fight for glory. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz has been talking to people who are spending thousands of dollars on what they call a priceless opportunity.
For two matches in Kansas City, Tina Lanius will spend more than $2,000. She remembers Argentina winning the 2022 World Cup. And nearly dying the day before. Lanius was hospitalized with an irregular heart rhythm right before the team's final match. At one point, her heart stopped altogether. Yet, the diehard fan watched Lionel Messi from her hospital bed.
That's why I wasn't going to die. There's no way God was going to let me die the day before Argentina and Messi got the cup.
Now, Lanius says she wants to see the feat in person and will join residents across the region spending big bucks to watch their team. She says the cost is worth it because, after all, you can't spell Argentina without Tina. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
Yes, they need Tina there. Listeners weighed in on how much they're willing to spend on this World Cup. You can check out more of that story at stlpr.org. And even with all of this excitement, the St. Louis running community is already gearing up for an eventful 2028. That's when the Summer Olympic Marathon Trials and the Greater St. Louis Marathon land on the same weekend. As STLPR's Chad Davis reports, Sports Commission leaders say they went through a competitive bid process to get the trials.
The races will take place on the weekend of March 25th, 2 years from now. Trials are expected to run through several major St. Louis landmarks. The selection committee visited St. Louis earlier this year. Mark Schreiber is president of the St. Louis Sports Commission. He said on St. Louis on the Air that the city stood out because of its history in hosting the first U.S. Olympics.
The vision of, we're going to start the race at Francis Olympic Field, site of the 1904 Games, and then we're going to end it at Energizer Park in a spectacular way. Something that's really never been done for Olympic trials before.
The top three men and top three women will represent Team USA in Los Angeles months later. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
I could train for a marathon by 2028, right? Right. Composer Andre Previn's 1995 opera, A Streetcar Named Desire, puts playwright Tennessee Williams' story on stage with an intense, mood-shifting score. Opera Theater of St. Louis's new production is the first collaboration between its new artistic director, Patricia Rossette, and its principal conductor, Daniela Condillari. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin spoke with them about the show. A quick note, this story does include mentions of sexual violence because Jeremy asked Reset which elements demand extra sensitivity from her as stage director.
There's this sexual desire, there's fantasy, there's delusion, fragility of the human psyche, all those things. But very specifically and very practically speaking, there is a rape. And there is a rather passionate lovemaking scene as well. There's violence. And so I think those things need to be handled very carefully. And I would like to think that I have handled it very artfully. We have had wonderful assistance with an intimacy coordinator and a fight coordinator mm-hmm. just to help the singers feel comfortable and also portray the moment as it should be.
Well, with that subject matter, what does it mean to have two women in charge of this process?
I think a woman's sensibility and understanding of the kind of domineering quality of Stanley Kowalski is important. We, you know, for better or worse, we still live in a culture where there's a male dominance that exists. And I think as a woman, I know firsthand how that can unfold in any variety of ways. So I think that's an important insight and experiential component. Then musically, it's just simply difficult. Vocally, these are incredibly demanding. Yeah. You have to be able to do everything mm-hmm. In the role of Blanche. It asks everything of the vocal technique.
Daniela, what makes this tricky musically?
Well, it's the really difference of styles that Previn has used. And there are all these incredible elements that really require a quick stylistic changes. He rarely uses just a pure minor-major chord. There's always an extension of harmonies. There are also incredibly lyrical moments that really offer relief because we'll have 5 minutes of really high-driven and high-intensity music that's incredibly rhythmical. But then on the other end of that, there is, I mean, Blanche's last aria, I Can Smell the Sea Air. Mm-hmm. It almost sounds like a lullaby, and it's just gorgeous.
The marketing materials for the show say this will leave audiences stunned and shaken. That's not always the objective, right? So, Patricia, what kind of a response are you looking to engender?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. Art imitates life, right? And I've said many times I don't like polite opera. I want to see our real lives up there. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And I think this piece offers something very visceral, difficult, but ultimately powerful.
That was Patricia Reset and Daniela Candilari of Opera Theater of St. Louis speaking with STLPR's Jeremy Goodwin. You heard music from a recording by the San Francisco Opera Orchestra featuring soloist Renee Fleming. Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.